Facebook makes it easy for small businesses to sell stuff online. Apple is reopening some stores. A startup offers satellite TV. Plus, your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. And I also answer the questions that you send me. And this is a special edition. It is just the questions you posted to my Facebook page at facebook.com/richontech. My name is Rich DeMuro, tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. Joining me is producer Megan. What's up?
Hello. How are you? Happy Friday?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're listening on a different day, then it may not be Friday. But you know what? We are recording this on a Friday. So it is Friday.
Yes.
We both have off Monday, which is nice. So a little extended weekend. Although with working from home, it's kind of funny, like requesting days off. Because I'm like, well, it's kind of like you're not in anyway, but it's
right. I mean, you're still working.
You're still working. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's a mental break.
It's a mental break. Exactly. And my mental has been breaking many times since I've been at home. So I am so ready. In Los Angeles, they are targeting July 4th as our Freedom Independence Day. Do you think that's funny that they, you know, July 4th?
Yeah. I mean, normally a day people take off.
Right.
But I guess. Yeah.
That's the day we get back to work, July 4th. What day does
no more holiday?
Let's see. July 4th is a Saturday this year. Oh, wow. That's like the best case scenario.
Yeah.
That's so interesting when holidays fall on like I think Halloween on a Saturday night is probably the best case scenario, right?
Yeah. Halloween should not be during the week.
No.
I feel like that just... it's just not fun.
They should
have school the next day or work.
Or work. They should always do Halloween on a Saturday night. I don't know why. Who invented these holidays that are on different days? Like we want,
I mean,
okay, like Easter's always on a Sunday. That's fine. Christmas should always be on like a Saturday night or whatever the best day is where you get the most time off of work. That I think is the best.
Well, they should just do it like how they do Mother's Day and Father's Day. They should be like, it's the third Saturday in December is Christmas.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
All right. Well, let's get started with some of the news happening in the tech world. If you're new to the show, thanks for tuning us in. We talk about stuff that is the, you know, the average consumer needs to know about. This is not the Inside Baseball Tech Podcast because we want to help the average person. And I think this actually really helps the average person. Facebook is introducing something called Shops, and it's kind of a way for small businesses to set up a store on Facebook instantly. And I think this is a really big deal because, Megan, I know you're on Instagram, maybe not so much on Facebook. Are you even on Facebook at all?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Do you have Facebook? Do you use it? Like, are your friends? Like, you're my friends, like, I, you know, I'm an older, I'm like, like guy friends are not on Facebook. You know, like, if I go on Facebook, it's mainly like my mom and her friends. I just don't find
it's
too many.
It's my family that's on Facebook.
Okay, so that's not the same then. That makes sense. Anyway, so, but the point is there are many, many people on Facebook. And when you're a small business, I would almost argue at this point in time, you don't even need a website. You don't even need a small, who wants to shop on a random website? If I could buy, I always give the example of like candles, right? Let's say you start a candle company and you have an Instagram page and I see your candle on your Instagram page. Why would I want to go to a separate website to complete that transaction? Why would I not just want to press purchase right inside Instagram and buy your candle? Doesn't that make sense?
It seems safer.
Right. And I don't know if Instagram has payment information on people. Like there's not really been a reason to put your credit card information into Instagram, but I think most people would be fine with that. Now, Facebook, I do believe they have my credit card for things like donations or whatever I've done in the past on Facebook. So again, they're setting up these small business shops. You can kind of take pictures of your products. You can put them in the catalog. You can customize what your shop looks like with a cover image and accent colors. And that means that anyone can sell on Instagram and Facebook instantly. And the other thing is you can kind of help people discover what you're selling through Instagram stories, Facebook stories, or the $1 million ads, right? So that's what they're really trying to do. They're offering this for free because Megan, once you set up your shop on there, now you want to buy ads to get your candles in front of more people. So it makes a lot of
candles.
Sense. I could see you doing
I think
candle
that's
business.
Awesome.
What would be your candle scent?
Oh,
Like what would
I always go for, like the Hawaiian smells.
Interesting.
You know, little island vibes, yeah. Coconut.
That's it. A coconut candle. I usually go for like a just vanilla, like the most boring, like that is like the most generic candle scent in the world. But
is
I
that
also,
your favorite ice cream?
Yeah, it is actually.
I think that's my favorite too. I mean, you
I'm
know,
just boring. It's okay. My kids are all chocolate on chocolate. They love like chocolate ice cream with chocolate. Everything we get now in our house, this is like week number like 79 of quarantine. Everything in our home mm-hmm. is somehow chocolate or chocolate chip based at this point.
That's so funny. I'm not a chocolate person at all. Like mm-hmm. I like a chocolate chip cookie, but I don't.
Yeah. No, I'm not a chocolate yeah. person. Well, that's not totally true. Okay. Other features of this, this all adds up to being really brilliant because now you've got your business on Instagram and Facebook. People can instant message you right through Messenger. So let's say they have a question about your candle. Boom, they can ask a question and you've got it on your phone and you can just write them right back. Now, this is all free except for obviously the purchase process. So somehow people are going to have to check out and someone is mm-hmm. going to get a percentage of that transaction. So if you sell a candle for $40, when the person checks out, you're only going to get $37 out of that or whatever they, you know, the small percentage. But to me, that's a right. small price to pay. Now,
yeah.
if you think about this, this really takes on something like an Etsy, but you know,
yeah.
like it's kind of sad for Etsy. I don't think Etsy is going to go out of business, but that's kind of what they're taking, you know, taking aim at here.
Doesn't Instagram already have this too?
They do, but it's very limited. It, you know, you had to be a partner. You had to, you know, it's and nobody had access to it. You know, it was very okay. limited. And so the fact that they can now let anyone do this is to me a big win.
All right. Our first question comes from Kimberly Smith Brown. My Sprint contract is up. Switching to Verizon or AT&T. Any good deals? I'm an iPhone user and my husband is 55. I don't know if that's a senior and if there are any senior plans. That's not a senior though, right?
55 is like quite young. I mean,
yeah.
Like the closer you get to these numbers, the younger they seem. So I think T-Mobile, they're, well, okay. So what I'd recommend is I would check out a website called Whistle Out. Remember we did the story with them? They help you compare the various cell phone plans. And there are a lot of plans out there. If you're going for something like just Verizon or AT&T, I would just go on there and it's whistleout.com and cell phone plans. And you say how many lines. So you want two lines. You can say if you already have a phone or did they already have a phone? They don't say I'm an iPhone user. Okay. So I would say she probably already has her phone. Right. And I would say that she has a unlocked GSM phone. And that's it. And now you can say the networks you want. So you can first look at Verizon and see what they've got, which, you know, they're going to be a little bit more expensive, but it just depends. I mean, but that's what I'd recommend because for me to just tell you what's perfect for you, I don't know. I mean, there's so many plans out there and, you know, if you want to be on the Verizon network, I mean, it depends how much are you talking on your phone? Do you want all unlimited data? Like for me, I want unlimited everything. So I don't have to think about anything, but you may say, Rich, I'm in my house like 90% of the time. I just use Wi-Fi and I just want a lot of texting and, you know, unlimited calls. So,
right.
I mean, something like this, like here's Straight Talk. Okay. Straight Talk Wireless, which I don't know if you've ever been in a Walmart, but they sell it there. This is $90.
Still have never been in a Walmart.
Like, never in your life?
Never in my life.
That's so wild. You know, I think we so talked weird, about this, but I don't think I ever was until I moved to Yakima, Washington. But I didn't grow up where they had Walmarts, and certainly in California, there's not that many in like the main big cities. Okay, so $90 a month for two lines on Straight Talk, which apparently uses the Verizon network. So again, I think that you kind of need to just go through this website and see what's best for you. If you just go to the Verizon website, you can see what's there. If you really want like the cheapest for 55 up, I think that T-Mobile has like a 55 and up plan, which is their, let's see. Yeah, unlimited 55 plus discount plan for seniors. I guess they are a senior theoretically, but I don't really think that's the definition of senior. But this is 55 or over. You can get $27.50, $55 for two lines.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's really good.
And that's unlimited talk, text, and smartphone data. So the only thing that I would say for Kimberly is that you want to make sure that T-Mobile works in your area, but she's on Sprint. Mm-hmm. So which leads me to believe, since she's saying Verizon or AT&T, she wants better coverage. But if T-Mobile has fine coverage in your area, I would do that. I mean, $55 a month for two lines with auto pay, that's mm-hmm. an amazing deal. I pay like $185 a month to Verizon for two lines. That includes my Apple Watch, though. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, speaking of Apple is opening some of their stores around the United States. I think about 25 of them. They've said they've opened about 100 worldwide. And it's not going to be the same Apple store that you remember. Nothing is going to be the same as we remember before this whole coronavirus madness. So number one, face coverings required in the store, and customers that don't bring them will actually, Apple will provide them, which I think is kind of nice, right? Because if you don't,
that is nice.
A lot of places aren't doing that. A lot of places, like I imagine like the casinos in Vegas, you're going to have to buy a face mask for like $9.99 or even more. Let's be honest. Temperature checks will be conducted at the door. And you're also going to have like a sign that says, you know, you need to make sure you're cough and fever free. They're going to also do deep cleanings on things that people touch. Now, would you go into an Apple store and touch an iPhone at this point right now to like pick it up and look at it?
Like if it wasn't cleaned? No.
Yeah. I mean, how would you?
You mean, would I think twice, like if I was going in an Apple store like 3 months ago now, knowing what we know?
Just no, like today. Like, if you had to go like into an Apple store today, would you pick up an iPad to like see what it feels like?
I think I would still do it, but I would be hesitant. I mean, if they're cleaning them every 10 minutes or they, you know, like I feel fine, I would just wash my hands.
Yeah, I would wash my hands.
Wait, what would you do?
I don't know. I'd feel icky. Like it'd definitely be like a weird feeling. Like you know,
yeah.
We were talking about this last night, my wife and I, like, you know, with Vegas. Would you go mm-hmm. on a slot machine? Like someone gets up from that slot machine, would you sit down at that slot machine? And then we were like, well, are they going to have wipes nearby that you like wipe down everything? And then like, it just, where does it end? It gets kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. So crazy.
Anyway, so the stores in Los Angeles, there's no stores in LA that are opening right now, but there are some stores in the LA area. And I did a post on Twitter, which I'm attempting to find right now, but I believe the closest one was Bakersfield. And I was all set to actually go out there and see what the deal was, because I wanted to see what it looked like. And it turns out that in California, they're not actually opening the stores just yet. It's going to be a drive-up situation where you have to, you know, drive up, you can drop off your phone for repair and pick it up, mm-hmm. you know, say the next day or something. Okay, Monterey, Roseville, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo. Is that how you say it?
San Luis Obispo? I'm pretty sure Luis. I feel like people say Luis.
San Luis Obispo? Obispo? Okay. Modesto, Fresno, and Bakersfield. So those are the stores in California. So if you're near one of those stores, you can finally bring your iPhone in for a repair, or you can purchase something and pick it up at the store, but no going in just yet.
Okay, this next question comes from Deborah Rasul. Hi, Rich. I would like your opinion on headphones. Jive Mini Pods. I guess that's what she wants your opinion on. I trust your opinion. Thanks.
I'm glad you trust my opinion. So I did a lookup of these Jive Mini Pods, and I will tell you that I don't trust them in any way, shape, or form. We've talked about this before on the website. When you go to a website, and there's certain red flags that pop out, right? Number one is when I went to this website, it's a giant wheel of fortune that you spin it and you might get a discount or free shipping or this or that. Number two, it has your location and it says, my location, 70% off expires today. High pressure sales tactics, right? Then it's got all these logos of different companies. Now, if you ever see a logo of a company on a website, but you can't click through, that's a red flag, because I see that it's featured in TechCrunch, Gizmodo, Huffington Post, USA Today. Yet I can't click any of those links to see what TechCrunch wrote about them, what Gizmodo wrote about them, what Huffington Post wrote about them. And if you go, by the way, these look like the Jive Mini Pods look like identical to a knockoff AirPod. And do you remember when we were in China, when the AirPods were everywhere, the knockoff ones, and they were like, $20 to purchase, and they started out at like $150, and I was like negotiating with them, and they kept following
me. Oh yeah. I remember so that.
That's what these are. These are just the same thing you would get in China on a street corner, but sold on a website. Now, the other thing that really gets me with this website is when you go back to Google search, the number two result is a MarketWatch press release. And people do that. They do these press releases so it looks like they're coverage, but they're really not. So I'm not finding any actual coverage. It's very sketchy.
So when I visit the website, I feel like it's a pop-up.
Like the whole thing is just kind of bogus. Like it's fly by night.
It looks totally fake to me, at least.
Well, okay. So I feel bad for these mini pods, but look, there are a lot of different AirPod kind of alternatives out there. So the ones that I looked up and found some good reviews on that are decent and they're very popular. So my advice, can you click the link that I put in there, Megan? You see these? They're called Anker Soundcore Liberty Neo. These are $33. Okay. They have 11,471 ratings on Amazon, 4.5 stars. Wow. So if you want a cheap pair of earbuds, I would go with these for $33 that 11,000 people have rated versus these random, whatever you're finding on there. And now the thing is, and I know this is what people like the AirPods look, and these don't have the AirPods look. So I know that's kind of a problem, but we did do a story and I can't remember what the name of the company was, but we did this in Tech Updates a couple days ago.
Yeah. Remember? A couple weeks ago, we did a story on Urban Ears, which look a little bit like AirPods, but they cost around $70, which is a great alternative.
Okay. So the Urban Ears, and I know that that company actually has decent reviews for a lot of their stuff. So Urban Ears, they've got the Luma and the Albi, A-L-B-Y, Albi, and they're going to be $99 and $69. So that's pretty good. That's like half the price of AirPods. And the difference between the two sets, I remember, is with the $99 one, you get the sensor and you get a longer battery life. And the sensor means when you pull them out of your ears, they will pause the music. So I would maybe hold off for those if you can. I believe they're coming sometime this summer. So you can go on their website on Urban Ears and sign up for updates. Now, we did do a review on a TCL smartphone this week. TCL is the company known for their Roku TVs. Megan, I believe you have one of those, right?
Yes, I do.
And you love it.
I love it.
And now TCL, they've made smartphones for a while. I believe it was under the Alcatel brand name and maybe even TCL phones. But these are like kind of their first entree into like, hey, we're making smartphones that are like pretty legit. And this is the TCL 10 series. They make three different phones. Two are available now, the 10L and the 10 Pro. I focused on the 10L just because it has the $250 price tag. The 10 Pro for $450, I'll be honest, I'd probably recommend a Pixel at that point or something similar. No, probably just a Pixel. So at $250, I was very skeptical of this phone, but I gotta say, I really enjoyed this device because it doesn't play games with you. A lot of these cheap Android phones, they're garbage, honestly. And this is not garbage. It's got a nice display, 6.53 inches. It's got four cameras, has an actual headphone jack on the top, which I thought was really cool. And again, they're playing to that budget connoisseur that may not want to spring for Bluetooth headphones. So they have a headphone jack. So you can plug in a headphone jack without an adapter. And again, playing to that budget connoisseur, you can now tune in FM radio through this device because they put in an FM radio app. I'm not talking iHeartRadio. I'm not talking, one of these streaming apps. This is radio that is taken through the airwaves and sent through your headphones. And the reason why that's cool is because that means you can listen to music or talk radio without using your data plan. Then they have a smart key on the side of this thing, which is really cool. You can program that to do any kind of functionality you want, whether it's your assistant or, three clicks to clear your memory. This has 64 gigs of storage, 6 gigabytes of RAM, USB-C, which is another thing that these budget devices do is they give you the older micro USB, which is terrible and it's not very good. So there's hardly any bloatware on this phone. The software is really good. They've got an AirDrop kind of file share feature that lets you transfer things back and forth between your computer. The camera is I would say it's very good for the price. This is not going to beat out the iPhone SE. It's not going to beat out any sort of flagship Android phone. But for $250, it was just fine. In fact, I was sitting there taking pictures going, wow, oh, okay, that's actually pretty good.
And so you were pleasantly surprised.
I was pleasantly overall on this entire phone. For $250, if you need just a phone, this is not, Megan, this is not for your sister who is, you know,
a TikTok star.
This is not for her. It's not for your brother who's a YouTube star. Why is the whole McMonagle family some sort of social media star?
It's so funny.
But do you rub it in
their face?
You have the top tech podcast though?
That's true. Raise the roof.
They've probably never listened though, sadly.
No, we all support each other in different ways.
The TCL 10L is also sold unlocked, which I really like. And I did confirm with TCL, it works on Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. So all three carriers is verified and it's on Amazon. So if you need a phone, TCL 10L, if you just want a basic Android phone, look no further than that device.
Okay, our next question comes from Heidi Levine. Help, my daughter will be auditioning for musical theater college programs in the coming months. I've gotten a Shure microphone and mixer connected via USB-C to my MacBook. It took me a week, but I figured out GarageBand. Now I need help connecting my Canon Rebel T6 to my Mac so that the microphone and music come through the video taken on my camera. I've Googled my heart out and I can't find the answers. Help me, Rich DeMiro. You're my only hope.
Oh, wow. Only hope. Well, here's what I'd say to Heidi. Why is she making things so complicated?
Yeah, she really is.
So I think that this sounds way too complicated to me. Number one, unless these are live auditions, which I don't think they are, it says they have to be video submissions. So I'm thinking that she's recording these things because she also talked about GarageBand, which, by the way, I've been working, you know, for 20 years in news and TV and audio, and I've never used GarageBand because it's so complicated and I don't like it. I edit this podcast in Final Cut because it's so much easier. And I'm sure I'm not alone. Like, you don't need to use GarageBand unless you are trying to literally start a GarageBand. Like, you don't need that. I think everything's way too complicated. So you got the microphone, you've got the mixer. So what I would do if I was in your shoes, Heidi, and I was helping my kid get into musical theater, which awesome, I would just use the camera, the Rebel T6 on a tripod. And I would just connect the microphone and mixer to the camera and I would record everything. So you're basically recording the submission on the camera but the mic is coming through the nice microphone. That would be what I would do. And then you can take that video, import it into your computer and just clip wherever you need to clip the beginning and the end. You can do that in QuickTime. And I'm guessing.
So there is a place on the Rebel where she can plug in her microphone?
I would assume so. You may need an adapter if it doesn't have like a standard 3.5 millimeter input, but most cameras can do that. So I would, but that's to me way easier. And it just makes life a lot simpler than why are you trying to feed everything into your computer and sync it up all at the same time when there's really no need to? Now, if she's doing these things on Zoom, that's a different case scenario, right? And it doesn't seem like she's doing them on Zoom because she said they have to be video submissions. And I don't think that these schools are auditioning everyone on Zoom like live. It seems like you would make a tape and send it. So that's what I would do. And I'd even take it up a notch. I would just use my iPhone. And why even bother with doing?
I was going to say my cousin, he's in college now, but a year ago when he was sending in his auditions, and he's like an amazing singer, he was auditioning for musical theater college programs and his dad just filmed him on his phone. And then I think he sent me the files because he needed to convert them from like an MP4 to something.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you doing that at work.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all day.
I remember that. I was like, Megan, can you please do this? Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm converting files. Like, I'm like, what for what? You're like, don't worry about it. But I remember it was like a long 8 hours every day.
It's really important.
Yeah. But I
remember. his dad just did it on an iPhone.
Yeah. And I think, I think you're overthinking this. I understand that you want your daughter to get into college, but you have to understand that, believe me, your daughter is going to shine through no matter what. You do not need the best, highest case, highest quality setup. Look at American Idol. I mean, they did the entire show by shipping the contestants a microphone. Now, they did do a similar thing. They shipped them a microphone that plugged into the iPhone. And they recorded, I think they shipped them two or three iPhones. So they had different angles. And then they just synced it, you know, the editor synced it together. But you don't need to do that, Heidi. You don't have to. You just need your daughter to look
amazing.
This isn't
American Idol.
Yeah, this is not American Idol. This is your daughter, which I have no doubt she's amazing. But I think that her brilliance will shine through. And that's what you need to do, is just concentrate on making her comfortable and not making this too complicated. And that would be my advice to you. This week, Google and Apple came out with their exposure notification system. This used to be called contact tracing, but the word tracing and contact seems way too privacy woo-woo for most people. So they renamed this, because this system only works if people actually use it. And so far, only a couple of states have used this. But let me just explain, because I'm getting a lot of questions about this on my Facebook page. People are so scared of this system. And there's really no reason to be scared of it. It's not tracking your location. It's not going to tell everyone in the world that you have coronavirus. It's not broadcasting where you are to anyone. It's really, the way they designed this program is actually very simple. And the way they designed it is your phone is broadcasting a simple code that changes every couple of minutes, no matter where you are. When another phone gets close, it picks up your code and it remembers it. And it doesn't remember who you are, doesn't remember where you were. And when someone in that system, let's say all those codes that are paired up, and imagine all the codes paired up means here's all the people that came into contact with each other within 6 feet for a couple of minutes, whatever it was. When someone in that registry says, bing, I got coronavirus, it sends out a message to all those phones saying, hey, it looks like you came into contact with someone that has coronavirus. Doesn't tell you their name, doesn't tell you where. I don't know if it even tells you when, probably does, because within the last 14 days, that's it. Now you go get tested. If you figure out, you know, do I need to self-quarantine? It's not recording. This data is not being kept. It's not being put on public databases. So it's fine. And I know that people are going to be like, Rich, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid of these tech companies and you're just, you know, our privacy is at risk. It's not. The way I've been on the phone calls with Apple and Google, and the way they built this system is they made it so that your privacy can't be at risk. And I was reading an article from techdirt.com. They say the case for contact tracing apps built on Apple and Google's exposure notification system. This website is a very smart website. And they basically said, yeah, this is fine. And they do a really good explanation with a system involving raffle tickets instead of like the more complicated Bluetooth beacons that they're using. And it's a great explanation. So if you want to read it, read it. But I imagine that people listening to this show are probably, you know, they're probably thinking it's fine anyway. But when the Apple software came out, did you update your iPhone, Megan?
No.
So when the Apple software came out, it had this contact thing in it and people were like, what? Oh. It's turned off by default. It is only turned on when you download an app that takes advantage of it. Right now, there's only three states in America that have them, which is North Dakota and two others. I can't remember. And
South Dakota. I feel like it was too,
but I felt like that was too convenient. Like the two Dakotas, and then I think it was Alabama. California has not had, you know, they've not mentioned any plans for this, which you of course know Google and Apple want California because that's a big get, right? That's their home states. And the other place is the US. The US does not have a nationwide use of this yet. They don't have an app. So the other thing that came out, of course, to go against everything I'm saying is that North Dakota's app has been sending data to Foursquare and Google. Now, this is from a privacy company called Jumbo Privacy. Their whole business is getting you to be worried about privacy, right? Because they can sell you stuff against privacy. I'm not knocking them because I love the fact that we have whistleblowers like this that look into the code and see what's going on. And I would imagine that what happened is North Dakota, whoever developed their app, was probably using off-the-shelf stuff, just popped in a bunch of modules, and it included tracking for Foursquare and Google. They probably didn't realize that they needed to take that stuff out. That was my best guess. But I could be wrong. Maybe the whole state of North Dakota is trying to track everyone on Foursquare and send that to Google. I don't know, but I don't think so. So anyway, I think that stuff is all safe. If you want to look in your phone to see it, you go into settings, general, you know, settings, privacy, health, and then you'll see the COVID-19 tracker. It should be turned off by default because pretty much unless you live in one of those states, there's no way to turn it on without downloading one of these apps.
Will it work with Apple Watches?
That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I mean, you'll get the notification through your Apple Watch, but I think if you're only wearing your Apple Watch, unless they made it, you know, maybe it will. You mean if you go out for a run or something with only your Apple Watch on?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would assume it would because that makes sense because a lot of people do run with just their watch. So right. That would be an important part of this. So I would hope they do that.
Yeah. All right. Our next question comes from Chris Peak. Good evening, Rich. Well, you know, it's morning, but whatever. Do you have a recommendation for a blood pressure watch? There are just a few companies out there with this capability. Maybe you know of one in the making.
I don't know if a lot of watches are doing this, but I do know that I remember we talked about this during the Samsung event a while back, and I believe that the back of their phones can do blood pressure. Because I remember actually putting my finger on the back of the phone and it was like a stress test, but it was like they were using blood pressure for that. So I know Samsung's working on it. I dug up a press release from April 21st, 2020, which now they have a blood pressure application for their Galaxy Watch devices. So I do remember at the Samsung event last year, they announced that they were going to do some stuff with blood pressure. It took a while for this to happen. But the Samsung Galaxy Watch 2, I believe, has this feature. But according to this press release, it looks like you have to calibrate it with a traditional cuff. So it's kind of confusing. The Samsung Health Monitor app will be available on the Galaxy Watch Active 2 within the third quarter and will progressively expand to upcoming watches. So it looks like you can actually... it's a little complicated because it looks like you need to use a cuff. No, you know what? It doesn't. This is very confusing. I think it's fine. I think it says so you calibrate it with a traditional cuff. So I think what you have to do is, have you ever been into like Walgreens or CVS where they have like the blood pressure cuff in there?
Yeah.
You know, you always wonder as a kid, like, what is that? Who needs that?
Well, I would always do it when I was a kid. I'd go and like check my blood pressure. Really? I had no idea what I was doing.
Wow. I wasn't allowed to touch it. But I always wanted
probably
to.
Probably safe.
Yeah. Well, now with COVID, I mean, clearly. So I think you calibrate it one time, like you go in with your watch to one of these places, calibrate it, and then you can now do it from your wrist and it's fine. Or from your fingertip or from your whatever, however they do it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I would look into Samsung. I would also look into a company called Withings. They are the company that makes a lot of these connected monitors. So if you want to use it with something like your phone or your iPhone, I think Withings is the company that does all these things. And they do have a watch, Steel HR, but I don't know if it does blood pressure. Let's see. Learn more. Heart rate, activity, sleep, battery life. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about blood pressure. It doesn't say anything about blood pressure. But anyway, those are the companies I would look at. All right, got a couple of things going here. And I should probably say the Apple Watch, I do not believe has that feature. I actually know it doesn't, but maybe the new one does. Maybe the one they're coming out with. I know it has ECG and, you know, those features, but it does. What the Apple Watch is lacking is sleep monitoring and, like you said, blood pressure. Okay, so a couple little things just to get you on the same page. I'm going to give three little things. So number one, Hulu is updating its interface. Do you have Hulu?
Yes.
It's the worst interface in the world. It is so complicated.
It's so it's really plain and like confusing.
Very confusing and bulky. Like there's just like, I don't know if you use a Roku, so it's probably a little bit easier to like navigate, but I use an Apple TV with the swipe. It kind of like is a touchpad on the remote. Mm-hmm. And it's so bad with Hulu because you're just swiping and you're moving all over the screen. So Hulu knows it. They knew it for a long time. They are finally improving it. They're going to do it more like what I call the cross system, which is up and down, left and right. And that's what Netflix uses. That's what pretty much every streaming service uses at this point, except for them. And so Roku and TVOS, it is rolling out beginning today. And I don't have it just yet on my Apple TV Hulu app, but it is coming out any day now. So if you don't have it, you're just on the list to be rolled out. It's going to come soon to other devices. Google Podcasts, big app for Google's app for iPhone. I don't see a big use case scenario for this. We've talked about this in the podcast, why I think it has potential because of the way Google searches the words inside the podcast and can give you recommendations. But the reality is it didn't have CarPlay support until now. Now it does. And if you open up CarPlay, you have the Google Podcasts app on iOS. You can now play your podcast in the car. This I'm very excited about. You can't believe how many people have emailed me about how they can play poker with their friends online during this whole quarantine. Because a lot of people get together and they play poker games on a Friday night, whatever, Saturday night. And so I recommended one called Poker in Place. And that was done by a developer. This one looks really cool because it's actually even easier. It's called Lee Poker, L-I Poker. Easiest way to play poker online. You can play games without having to download or sign up for anything. You just share a link to your friends. It works on desktop and mobile, has in-game video chat and messaging. Super easy, Megan. No download, wow. No sign up, one-click link. This is what I love about these new tech companies. They're finally understanding the beauty of a one-click link. When we got on mm-hmm. Google Meet for this meeting, I just sent you a link and you clicked it and you're in. It took 1 second. Now, you were probably logged into Google, so that helped. But I think also Zoom kind of realized this. You make mm-hmm. it easy for folks, they will join on. And the easier mm-hmm. you make it with those one links, now Facebook does this with Facebook Messenger, Rooms, just one link. Get people in there.
I feel like, did Dropbox start that?
Yes, exactly.
Because I think that that's like the brilliance of Dropbox is you can create a share link and then... Exactly. Easily share videos of people that they can download.
Exactly. You are so right. That is they did. They were like the first to kind of popularize here's the link. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to sign in. You don't need to do anything. Just click this link. It will bring you to where you need to do it. And this is what people are realizing. I looked at this quickly, this Lee Poker. It looks really cool. It's so funny because my friends played poker last Friday night and I didn't join in because I didn't feel like it, but it was the directions on the email chain were absolutely insane because they were using the PokerStars.net, which is like a big company. And PokerStars.net, what do they want you to do? They want you to really play poker with real money on their website. And yes, they offer the ability for you to do this with your friends, but they don't really care mm-hmm. about that. They're just trying to get you to sign up, log in. So the sign up process was so insane and it just kept going and going. And it was like, and I was sitting there, I was like, I didn't have the heart to tell them, like, you literally know you can do this with one link and it's so much easier. But I didn't want to tell them that.
You should have just hit reply all and then like, are you kidding with all these instructions?
I don't want to be the know-it-all. So I just sat back.
No, I know. And, yeah.
But,
yeah.
They're
rich on tech.
Yeah. They're like, ooh, of course. But if I did this, if I set up a poker night with my friends, I would do this and blow everyone away because they'd be like, oh my God, that's so easy. In fact, mm-hmm. We have a lot of plans this weekend. So I don't know because it's like Memorial Day.
Popular.
But so I think like Saturday night would be a good night to do this. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try it out. Anyway, the website, by the way, I should probably give you that because that's the thing you need to know. Let me see. It's L-I Poker. L-I Poker.io. L-I Poker.io. It is so easy. You and I could start playing right now. That's how easy it is.
Except I don't know how to play, but yeah.
You got to learn. It's really, it's fun. I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but I mean, like Lindsay plays poker and, you know. Well, she hasn't played in a long time. So actually, no, she doesn't really play. Never mind. But I think she knows how to play. But
do you recommend a way to learn? Like, is there, besides just with other people? Like,
yeah,
is there
you just have to go with other people. Just have a friend that knows how to play. And I always joke about this because I'm good. I'm not good at poker, but I know how to play. But, and I'm also not the guy there. Whenever you play poker with a group of guys or gals or whoever, if it's mixed group, whatever, whenever you play poker, there's always one person at the table that I call the poker sort of king. They know not just how to play, but they know how to do everything. So when you have a question about the rules, they're the person you turn to. They're the ones that are doing all the little bets and like making sure you've got the blind and the big blind and the small blind and taking the, you know,
like counting cards.
No, they don't do that, but they just know what's up. They are the person, they're like the gatekeeper, right? I'm just sitting there like, I have no idea. I'm just turning over my cards. I'm folding. I'm like, I have no idea. They keep you going when you know, and they count everyone out. It's just, there's always, mark my words, if you play poker with friends, you know there's that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this next question comes from Eva Candelario. SOS, I repeat, SOS, help, please help. We have run out of things to watch on Netflix. I repeat, we have ran out of things to watch on Netflix. And regular TV doesn't really offer anything good these days. Please tell us how we can unlock more options on Netflix.
Good question. Well, you can't just unlock new stuff on Netflix.
I think it's time for a new service.
Yeah, I think it's time for a new service. There's a lot of stuff out there. I'm oversubscribed at this point, but I don't know what to say. I mean, okay. So a couple things I would recommend. It sounds like you need to like look at websites that tell you what's on these services versus just looking at what Netflix shows you on the home screen. So a couple websites I'd recommend. First one is my current favorite, which is called Real Good, REELGOOD. I'm pretty much browsing this all the time in my free time, trying to find like the best stuff to watch for the kids, for myself, for Lindsay. Right now I'm on an 80s movies kick. So last night I was looking at all the 80s movies that are available across my services. But what's cool about Real Good is that they will help you find stuff, even free stuff. There may be stuff on like Tubi or what are all these other random, like there's so many random ones now, Pluto. So they will help you find stuff across 50 different services, and you can add your services and you can look for movies. Like, so we just watched Big, and then I was trying to find similar movies to Big. And so I went to Real Good, and it will give you the other movies people also liked, more female director movies, more New York movies. I mean, how cool is that? So you can just look through there. And it's a very well-designed website. They also have an app. It's the best. Now, there's a new one that I don't think is as good, but you should know about it. And it's called Viewniverse. V-U. It's a V and then universe. Viewniverse. And what worries me about this website is that their logo is kind of inspired by the TV Guide logo. And anytime you're starting a startup and your logo is kind of lifted from a different company, I'm worried. Like you're impersonating like another company's logo. But they do have some smart people behind this. But yesterday when I signed in, I did the same thing. I put Big into the search engine and the movie didn't even come up. So that was kind of a little red flag there. So
is that the movie with Arnie?
No, Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Who's okay. Arnie?
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, you call him Arnie?
Yeah. You don't?
No, but I did. I actually have run into Arnold, I think twice actually, at the beach, which is really funny. Him. Yeah, I've seen him. That's really funny. A lot smaller in person than I thought, but nice guy. Very nice guy. He was very like friendly and like just, you know, very, very, I mean, look, he's living the American dream, you know? He made it big here in America and in many different ways. And yeah, so anyway. Okay. So those are the two websites that I digress. Those are the two websites that I recommend looking through. You can also look through the TV app on your iPhone. That'll give you some ideas of stuff that's available, but Netflix is not included in there. So I'd stick to these two anyway. Okay, finally, before we go, Orbi TV. This is a head scratcher. They are starting or maybe they already have it. I don't know. It's already available, but it's a new satellite TV company. How weird is that? Like who would get satellite TV installed at this point? I don't know, but they are doing it. And their whole proposition is a value proposition, $40 a month. And you get a bunch of cable channels, but they also put an antenna on the satellite dish that gives you your over-the-air channels, which I like. I like that aspect of it. But it's just weird to think that you would have to have someone come to your house, install a satellite dish, and now you need to use their proprietary box to get your stuff. And I just feel like it's fine. Like, I get it. Like, there's people out there like, less tech inclined that would want something that's similar to cable, but not as expensive, or similar to satellite. But I feel like you can get all the stuff you need at this point through a streaming service. And you don't have to have someone come to your house and put this thing on your roof. Now, I get it. The whole local channels thing is kind of a problem sometimes. But I think you'd be better served by just putting your own antenna on the roof or in your house, or even pay someone $99 to install it on your roof and get something like a Tableau or even a TiVo that has the recording built in or the locals built
in. Do you have Tableau?
I have Tableau. Yeah. Well, I have two things. I have Tableau and I also have the Amazon Fire TV Recast, but I dismantled the Recast in favor of Tableau. Because I switched to Apple TV and Tableau, the reason why I like Tableau is because it works with everything. It's kind of platform agnostic. And so whether you have a Fire Stick or an Apple TV, it works just fine. And Fire is fine. The Fire TV Recast is fine if you just have Fire devices. And that works really well. It's DVR. It's great. They'll both do the same thing. But to me, like, I would rather hack together my own little system, because then you have the freedom. Let's say you're not happy with the channels that Orbi TV offers for $40 a month. Well, you can't just download an app and now get YouTube TV, because it's like their own weird platform. So if you had a Fire TV stick, you could just download YouTube TV. Oh, I don't like YouTube TV. Okay, well, let's go to Hulu Live TV. Oh, I don't like that. Let's go to Fubo. Oh, I don't like that. Let's go to Sling. Oh, I don't like that. I mean, there's so many options when you have your own, the boxes.
Maybe you should read a book.
What's that?
Maybe you should just read a book.
Yeah.
Like that.
If you don't like any of this stuff, yeah, just do that. Anyway, well, so that's what I would recommend. And also, by the way, when you go with these third-party apps, like our third-party services, like what I'm talking about here, this Orbi TV, don't forget that these apps are not updated as much as, say, like if I'm creating, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, if I'm creating an app, I'm going to update my Roku app, I'm going to update my Amazon Fire TV app, and I'm going to update my Apple TV app. Then I'm going to worry about the rest of the stuff. Well, can you believe it? That's going to do it for this episode of the show. If you'd like to submit a question for me to answer, just go to richontech.tv and hit the email button at the bottom of the page. Also, we would love it if you would rate and review this podcast to help other people discover it. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech. And Will Michael just left a review. 5 stars, Megan. Timely tech and tips explained, researched well. Wow. Great tech info, he writes. Tips questions answered in an understandable way. Rich clearly has high tech credentials, but he doesn't show off his knowledge, but makes it his goal to be the conduit of his insights to the rest of us. Wow. He also doesn't assume the listener has unlimited funds and seeks to identify good deals that the average person can afford, kind of like that TCL phone we were talking about. Show is also entertaining and great chemistry and good humor between Rich and producer Megan. Aww. Thank you, Will. We appreciate it.
That's so nice.
Producer Megan, where can folks find you on social media?
I am at Producer Megan on Twitter.
And you got to check out Producer Megan's story. Go to ktla.com/tech and look up the wine story. You guys tasted 3 different wine boxes. So did anyone get sloshed that day or what?
My parents, they drink, but they don't really get sloshed. No one got sloshed. Okay, it was just kind of, it was a nice little drinking experience with them.
It looked like you did it during the day though.
It was like 5 p.m.
Okay. Oh, it was 5. Oh, it was right on the, you're like 5 p.m.
Right at
time,
5.
Time. It's funny because after watching the story, I'm going to order my mom the Vine Box one, the ones that come in the vials. I think that's so cool.
I think that's great for someone does your mom know a lot about wine?
No,
or you just
nothing.
Wanna, like,
no, nothing. And like, she also doesn't really drink. So it's kind of fun to like, she can just like have like a glass, like for the Zoom happy hours or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
just kind of fun. It's like the Vine Box one is served in like these vials that have a glass and a half each. And it's just cool. The whole presentation of that one is really, really cool. So
yeah, anyway. Vine Box is a great gift that you could give someone.
Watch Megan's story. Go to ktla.com/tech and check out the wine story. And you can see her and her fam tasting the wines. You can find me at Rich on Tech on social media. My name is Rich DeMiro. On behalf of everyone that gets this show to your ears, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.